part one. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, AKC's Total. I did it again. Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
This is episode 87, part one.
87, part one, John.
Three-part episode.
Only 13 more to go to number 100.
Really?
And get this, John.
Are you serious?
Sometime in this month, we're going to hit our two-year anniversary.
No way.
Way. 2 years.
We started in March.
In March. How many other podcasters have been doing it for 2 years, John? Huh? How many?
Well, Punky, Nobodies.
No, not yet. We started before Punky. I don't know about the Nobodies,
right,
though. They may have started before us.
Who else? Kinky Sex.
Kinky Sex, but... Oh, that reminds me, John.
Anymore.
He does. He's got two new episodes.
You know, I feel bad.
I haven't listened to him yet, though.
I never
There's
called
a bonus
him
show, and then a new Kinky Sex show is online after a long layoff.
Oh.
So check that out from Professor Tom, one of our first guests.
He might think I was ignoring him, but he called a while back, and I don't have any access to...
The internets?
Yeah. I mean, I do, but I don't have anything set up at home to answer. I guess I could have just text messaged him.
Text, right. The most basic. Oh, thanks, John. Thanks for leaning over and coughing right into the mic.
Where's your soundbite now, bitch?
Yeah, I wish I brought it.
Bitch.
Because you called me. You said, hey, man, I didn't fucking cough. Fuck you. Could have brought that in.
Disproved. Did I say that?
It. Yeah. Get all bent out of shape.
Dude, something's wrong with me, man. I got to see a doctor. I told the wife today because one of our first guests, our very first guest, his dad passed away yesterday.
Joe, our first guest in episode two, his dad passed away today?
Yesterday, yeah.
How old was he?
66.
Heart attack.
And he really wanted to be on our show.
Joe's dad?
Yeah. You ever meet his dad? He's got great pipes. He was also in a movie that Brian did for school.
I don't think I've ever met him. I've never seen that movie Brian did for school either.
I'll tell you what, he is a good freaking actor. He even scared me in the movie. He was a scary guy.
Whoa. Oh, because Brian did like a horror movie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It just happens. I can't help it. But anyways, yeah, his dad passed on yesterday. So, you know, of course, Joe's taking it pretty hard. So, I don't know. Sometime this week, I'm going to be going over there for whatever the... It's not going to be awake because he's being cremated.
Right.
So... We'll dedicate the show to Joe's dad.
And my grandma, John.
Oh, that's right.
That's
and
right.
Your grandma.
My grandmother, who's 90, passed away. I can't even remember what day it was.
Wednesday?
I got a phone call. I got a phone message.
But you weren't home.
I wasn't home, no.
I mean, you didn't have your phone.
I didn't even have my phone. So I found out a couple days later. But apparently, she's way up in the North Woods, and she passed away... sometime this week, and they're going to bring her back here. They're going to cremate her up there, bring her back here, and have some sort of a memorial service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Same kind of thing.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt, John.
So.
Say what you will about my grandma, John.
Your grandma was cool, man. I met your grandma. Your grandma could smoke 15 packs a day.
Since the age of 12, she drank at least a case of beer and smoked at least 3 packs a day since the age of 12. And she lived to 90.
You're like, hey, man, let's... I said, I got to go to Soundpost. Oh, yeah, okay. We're driving around, you and I don't know why, we're driving around in your red...
Escort,
Escort.
Man. GT.
With your dog, the Elvis.
The hopped up version.
Your giant, menacing Rottweiler, Elvis.
Well, he was still a puppy back then.
Yeah. And we went to Soundpost, picked up some shit, drums or something for me, and then headed over to your grandma's house and hung out there, and you bought her like a... bought her a case of beer and a pack of smokes or something, or carton.
Well, she couldn't get out. She wasn't very mobile. I don't think she ever had a driver's license. So if she wanted to get the alcohol and the cigarettes, she had to walk uptown. So I thought I'd do her a favor.
Wow.
But I just hope that I pray to God, John, that I have at least one quarter of the genetics that allowed her to abuse herself.
Well, then you're lying right now.
And live to 90.
Why don't you pray to Batman or something?
No, I'm going to pray to the Lord. He's a guest on our show. I at least owe him that respect. I mean, Allah's never come into our show. You know what I'm saying? Buddha's never been here.
Well, maybe we got to have them on.
Shiva has never been here.
We should open up the phones, open up the cans for Allah, Shiva, and Buddha.
Yeah, we
need to
get... Do you
think Buddha sounds like judgmental? Hello. I have some cinnamon gum. I'm judgmental.
Do you think he has to have cinnamon gum before he is Buddha?
Before I'm Buddha, I got to have cinnamon gum. Hello.
Yeah, what was I going to say about our Lord, Jehovah John? Oh, we need to get him back in because this whole James Cameron thing and Jesus...
Oh, that reminds
finding me. Jesus in his tomb. That's getting out of hand. We need to have the Lord in here to set the record straight. Where you going, man? John is running away. He's running to his coat. We are in the studio. We are not in John's home studio because his home is under construction. So we're back in our musical studio.
Yeah.
And John, I can see him now. In his home studio, I can't see him, and we're in separate rooms.
Can't see me.
But now I can see him.
I do weird stuff at the home studio. Hold on a second.
Maybe that's why God hasn't come in. He doesn't know that we're in the studio.
Hello? Hello?
Maybe he shows up at your home. And he's like, hey, man.
Hello?
Oh, what am I thinking? Hey. He's omnipotent. He knows.
Hey, can you record that Jesus show for me?
On Discovery. It'll be all over the
James
web.
James Cameron. Ladies and gentlemen, my wife on the show.
For the first time, John.
Yeah.
First time.
Say hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
She sounds hot.
No doubt.
No doubt.
All right. You got it?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
All right. Thanks. 10-4. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was the lovely.
She record on TiVo?
Does she record on TiVo?
That's what I'm asking. Does she record on TiVo?
What do you mean?
How do you, you say to your wife, record the show? What does she do that on?
Comcast.
Comcast?
Yeah. It's not TiVo.
Oh, not TiVo?
TiVo's TiVo.
TiVo's TiVo. Okay, I guess I'm confused.
You are. Anyway, we were talking about it last week, and this discussion came up all over work this week, and on the radio and stuff, how that if those are Jesus' bones, like we said, or you said, that totally screws up the whole Christian myth.
Not only that, but Dan Brown is right. So now Dan Brown's book is like the newest testament. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's not true.
What do you mean? It's not true.
His book is fiction.
But it's
what and if, it's based on Holy if, Grail, Holy Blood.
But what if you write
Holy Blood, Holy
a book
Grail.
That's fiction that you think is fiction and it turns out to be true? Then what is
I
it,
I know,
John?
But Holy Grail, Holy Blood was written before Dan Brown's book. The guys, they were suing him because those guys say this is historical
but they lost
evidence.
That case.
No, they lost the case saying that this guy, Dan Brown, used the ideas from their book. But what they couldn't prove is that Dan Brown was using it to say that he wrote the history.
Oh.
So their feel of their book was more about this is evidence. We did the research.
Let
we
me
believe
ask you this
to be
John.
Historical fact.
Let me ask you this. Did they conceive of these ideas after the dig that happened in 1980? Were they privy to that information?
Must
that James
be because
Cameron is basing his documentary on. And if you're just joining us, what we're talking about is James Cameron has a documentary, and he has found, well, he's claiming he has found the grave of a Jesus Christ. And not only that, John, but Mary Magdalene and he had a son, Judah,
yeah,
son
Judah.
Of Jesus. So they found the tomb of Jesus and his family, and it's being played on a documentary this evening on Discovery Channel. It's been in the news, and I think we had a small bit about it last week, right, when it was breaking that this was going to come out.
Yeah.
But if it is really Jesus, John, we are atheists, so it's of no concern to us. It's like, hey, it's like somebody telling us Santa Claus doesn't exist. But for the Catholics and the Christians of our nation, are they all Jewish now, John? Do they all become immediately Jewish? And what happens to Jews for Jesus, John? What happens to them?
I don't know. they become Jews for Jews, I guess. The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. It's a controversial book by Michael Bagent and Richard Lee, or Lay. Remember Lay Teabing in the book?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, Lee, spelled L-E-I-G-H, Michael Lee.
Yeah.
And Bagent, Lay, okay, Lay Teabing. Bagent, backwards, or if you mix up the jumble, the Bagent, you get Teabing.
Whoa. It's like an anagram.
Right.
Whoa. Is that what? No.
So I think
wait a minute.
I think Dan Brown was nodding.
An anagram is something you get put on your bath towels, right? So it's not an anagram.
No, that's a mammogram.
Oh, that's a mammogram?
Yeah.
No, that's when you go to the doctor and you get your breasts felt up. That's a mammogram.
It's a monogram.
Monogram is what you get on your towels. An anagram is what we... You were correct, John.
Yeah.
That is an anagram. Okay.
Well, the book was first published in 1982, a follow-up to a BBC documentary on the series Chronicle, a sequel to the book called The Messianic Legacy. I actually have both books.
Yeah, forget all that. What I want to know is, did they use this find that occurred in 1980 as the basis for their thesis?
Oh.
So were they privy to the information that, hey, we dug up these bones that said Jesus and Judah, son of Jesus, and they said Mary?
Right.
Now all the Christians are saying, oh, Jesus was a very common name in that era.
Yeah.
So was Mary. Mary, like more than half the women were named Mary.
48%.
Right. Now how can that be?
It makes
Mary,
it really,
Mary, and then like what?
Yes, oh, yes, what? Yes. Huh? What? Jesus, oh Jesus,
Judah, son of Jesus.
Yeah, well, I don't understand that. You know, well,
I mean, how would they even work out school?
I don't know.
If you're going to sit in alphabetical order, okay, we got 30 Jesuses. Do you sit them in then by their their dad's names?
Okay, sit in alphabetical order. J's first. Yeah, no shit, man. It's all fucked up.
We need the Lord to come in and let us know the lowdown on that. The lowdown.
Yeah.
All right, John. So earlier this week, because we are a band. I don't know if you know that, John.
We are, yeah. I heard that.
Rick knows, and you know, a guy named John who runs a studio, and he's also a professor at Harper Community College.
He is?
I don't know. He's a teacher, right?
Yeah.
So he teaches like audio production. So he's got a new class, new semester, but no band.
Right.
So he calls up Rick and he says, hey, you guys want to come in again? Because we've done this before. You want to come in again? I got a whole new group of students. We can come in. They record you. It'll be from 7 to 10 on a Wednesday night, right? So we show up. Was I a little bit late? Probably. I'm usually a little bit late to everything.
Yeah, because he said, ladies and gentlemen, the late Scott.
The late Scott, yes. So we get in there, and it's...
And he tried to start a fight with us.
Who, John?
Yeah, he said something to you like, John's pissed.
That was Rick, yeah.
And I didn't say anything. I said something to him because he always says to me, where's Scott? And this time I got it in before he did. I go, hey, where's Scott? And he just looked at me, what? Talking to me?
Yeah, so I was late. I show up, and so from 7 to 9, maybe 9:30, it's setting up the drums, setting up the mics, and getting the sound check.
Like, what do I need to be here for?
Right, and these are all students, so he lets the students turn the knob, John. So when we actually do record, it's like 10 times amateur night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then I think to myself, well, why are we even here? I mean, it's not... Because you did get all the tracks the last time we went.
Yeah.
And you did remix them. And I thought the music remix, and especially the kick drum, yeah, was outstanding. And I think we played that last show.
Right.
One of those songs.
Yeah.
But the vocals were the worst goddamn thing I've ever heard. And not because of Rick. Rick's a good singer.
Yeah.
But the recording of him was for shit.
We've done them better here.
Yeah. And it's because he's got students turning the knob, you know, Jim?
Yeah.
Right. So even while we're setting up and he's getting levels for everything, he's got to stop and then teach.
Okay kids,
everybody listen up now. And so even when they're setting up the mics, he's got to show them how to or when they're breaking down, okay, here's how you want to roll them up. Now you could do it this way or you could do it that way, you know. We got to sit around for that shit. So if that ever comes up again, I'd say Rick says fuck that, we're not showing up unless we get some cash, because this guy's got to get a budget, right, for teaching. He's got to get some sort of a budget. So I say, fuck that. Let's not do it anymore.
Okay. Well, okay. So you're not going to be there then, right?
Oh, so you're still going to go?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to go.
It's free studio time.
Yeah, but it's free studio time that students record.
So what? The drum tracks came out great. We can bring them back here. You can add your overdubs.
Well, is that going to happen like the first recordings we did?
Yeah.
Is Rick going to come in and... put some
come in where come right here
come here right yeah. Come in here and put some meteor vocals
on. Sure. No
doubt. The ones they recorded in the studio.
Absolutely.
And then when we were there this time, we got two songs out, and then I had to leave. It was like 10:30. I left, but Rick had to still do vocals. But I don't even know if they were able to capture his solo track on the one song because he kept screwing up.
Right.
So we may have to redo that here as well, too.
Yeah, we could do the whole thing.
That's what I'm saying. Why don't we not just do it here? You can record the drums just as good as Towner can record the fucking drums.
Yeah, right. It's so easy to run over here and set everything.
I can play for run you while you're...
No, you can't. This room isn't dead enough. It's noisy. We're getting a nice, discreet wave files.
Of the drum tracks.
Yeah.
Only is what I'm saying.
No doubt.
So it's worth it for that, for the drum tracks.
Why not? Then you can do whatever you want. Send them, give them to you, and you can lay your bass line at home.
Nice. Yeah, because he had a problem with my bass sound.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Do you need
up.
A new battery?
No.
Do you use
I don't know why he said that.
And then he gets me a new battery, and then he makes me, you know, he tries to emasculate me, but that's okay, because I'm all man, John. I could wear a pink shirt. I don't care. I could wear crotchless underwear. It doesn't matter to me.
Have your bits dangling about.
That's right, my bits. So
you don't even have to do anything. You just stand there, and then you get out of doing a practice.
Yeah, but I'd rather practice than just stand there holding my cock, John, okay? Holding my male chicken in the singular.
You guys could have practiced in the other room.
Well, we were. We did instead, run through a instead, couple of songs.
Instead, he made it longer by, yeah, anyway, well, today, trying to talk over the teacher teaching his students.
Oh, that was Rick. Rick was doing that.
Like 10 times.
Yeah. I had to keep, hey, Rick, man, she's trying to teach.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so my wife, she's going to file a lawsuit. Hey, man, shut up.
And as John gets louder, he's got 7 students in that room. Rick's getting louder. He's yelling.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
All right, so then we moved. We went to the studio. I don't even know what. Well, that was Wednesday night. So we canceled practice on Thursday. And then Friday night, John. We were at Murphy's in Arlington Heights. Murphy's, John.
For the big shoe.
For the big show. Now, the way Rick worked this out is we know somebody that you work with, Jason. It was his 30th birthday party. So somebody wanted to have his party, but they wanted to have us be the band that played at the party. So Rick was able to leverage this into a gig by going to Murphy's and say, hey, you may have another band booked for the March 2nd? Was that the date?
Yeah.
But I can guarantee a minimum of 40 people. So they gave us the gig. We showed up. It was snowing. What the fuck is with this weather,
brutal.
Man?
Brutal.
We get our shit in there. It's one of the smaller stages ever. It's the same place we played the week before, where we played like 3 songs. And the setup went pretty well. We didn't have the subwoofers.
No,
so that
which is better,
but it still took a really long time. Like the way
it's
we planned
small
it out,
space.
Yeah, it was a small space, so we were running into each other trying to do our little own.
Where should this go? Where do we go here?
Yeah,
what's
shit
this
like that? But we got that set up and we started playing, and I thought it was a pretty good gig. It was a good gig, especially third set. Third set was good.
Sounded good.
Sounded good. We played. We presented some new material. Went over well.
No doubt.
A guy that I work with showed up. I told him about it earlier in the day because I know he lives in Arlington Heights. He showed up and he was hammered. So it was interesting to see somebody I work with totally hammered.
Oh, Jason was hammered.
Oh, yeah.
That motherfucker. He's got all up in my grill.
He was hammered, man. I gave him a present, too, and he threw it on the floor.
I know.
That fucker.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to see him.
I was ready to bend it over and shove it up his ass,
John.
I'm going to
disemasculate him. Freaking doofus. And he gets all up in my grill. Talking about how I embarrass him at work, telling everybody, yeah, you tell my boss that I'm all fucked up and talking about spaghetti and stuff. What? Get the fuck out of my face.
We should have brought a portable microphone just to record some of his ramblings, because he was rambling to me, too.
I love you, though. I love you, man. And then he kissed me.
On the lips?
No. On the cheek. I love you guys. Thanks for doing this.
That's nice.
You know, email after email. Spaghetti. Email.
Make me look like a cocksucker.
Make me look
work,
like an asshole. This guy makes me look like a fucker. Like I'm fucked up. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to meet Pete, Jason's boss.
Yeah.
That was cool. He's a cool dude, man. He should give me a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blow job or?
All right.
All right.
I don't think that would be anything unusual. not an unusual request.
Excuse me. can I have a blow job? What? Yeah. And then they threw a fucking cake into Jason's crotch. and there was cake all over my drums.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see that until afterwards when I saw all the fucking cake all over the place. I didn't see it as it occurred.
Yeah.
And I'm standing right fucking next to you. How did I miss that? I don't know.
You were hiding the whole gig.
Well, you're leaning on the wall. Well, we were like in this little crevasse,
yeah,
John.
But you didn't want to have a mic, you know. Oh, I'll just share
Rick's. There wasn't room for a mic.
Yeah, there was.
There was.
I played in smaller places than that.
With two mics?
Yeah.
It was this maybe, 8 feet wide. And so we decided to go with one mic. And then when I would come over to sing backup vocals with Rick, he wouldn't move. He would keep his guitar like jammed in my abdomen. And
how can he move if he's singing lead vocal? Where's he going to move to?
Well, no, he just swings his guitar to the side and he could still get in the lead. But every time I had a backup, it was like he was completely unaware.
Maybe if you didn't refuse to have a microphone.
Oh, forget that.
No,
let's talk about
it's Rick. It's not you.
No, let's talk about that.
Why?
And it's not because I'd like to
you just want to hear yourself on an iPod later?
But what I was thinking about it is when you go through practice and you run through this shit, that's the way he practices. And what I observed was he has no comprehension of when I sing backup. I think he knows when you sing backup because you guys have been working together a lot longer and you're better harmonically with Rick specifically. But he has no idea when I contribute to a backup vocal. So when I'd walk over to him, I thought that would be a big hint, like when I'd get up in his grill. But no, it wasn't. I would have to, I almost like jam.
You should have shoved him.
Yeah, jam my chest.
I told you, man, you should have slapped him.
Into the neck of his guitar to make him move over so I could get up there.
For $10.
You offered me 50.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you offered me 50 to slap him in
the
face.
It would have to be a good slap. I mean, one that almost knocked him down.
That you could hear. Yeah.
Like, ow, what the fuck you doing?
Which I didn't do.
I know, but she turned around and looked at me. Should I? I think it might be time.
At some point, yeah. I was like, yeah, we need to slap
him. What are you drinking? What's that big bottle?
Oh, this is some wine that I brought from home. I drank this much.
Already?
Yeah, so I was hoping
great.
I could finish it off.
Here we go.
Yeah. It's a Woodbridge Merlot by Robert Mondavi.
Ooh.
And it tastes good, but there's like a rancid smell to it.
Well, you know, I was telling, I went to the Linford Winery once. And okay, so I wore the glasses and the goofy teeth. But other than that, I was dead serious when I told the guy about cat piss is an odor or an aroma that comes from certain white wines that is actually a sought after smell.
By who?
Well, I don't know.
Other cats?
I don't know. I read it in Consumer Reports.
Well, I got to tell you, I have no experience with white wine because white wine's for faggots and for women. So I only drink the red wine, so I have no basis for any type of discussion with you, John.
Yeah, whatever.
About cat
faggots.
Piss
anybody
smell.
Who drinks white wine and crosses their faggot ass legs like that, like you're hiding your.
Unfortunately,
coos.
We're on the internet,
yeah.
John. Nobody can see.
Well, I'm looking
how
at Scott right now,
legs.
And he crosses his legs like he's hiding his coos in a dress. Like, look at you, you queer.
I don't have to hide my coos, John. I'm very proud of it.
Of your coos.
All right,
of your Rick chin.
I know we're running out of time. One last thing before we take it to part two. Penn Radio. With
yeah,
Michael
what's
Godot
up with that?
Is off the air, and we really don't know right now. I guess the information will come out at some point. But apparently CBS had some problem with Penn Jillette.
Really?
And I never listened to him on the radio. I always downloaded the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was all set to complain this week about his podcast. I love the content, but who's ever producing the show is the shittiest producer on the fucking planet, because you got Penn Jillette, who's kind of loud. He talks loud. He's And then you got Michael Godot, who talks like he talks like this. But right. When Michael Godot laughs, he laughs like this. And then you got the callers who call in, and the callers are louder than Penn. And when I play the goddamn thing in my car, I always have to adjust the goddamn volume because Penn will start cackling, and my eardrums will just start bleeding. Right. And it's up to the production. Sometimes Penn broadcasts like this.
Yeah,
he's like
right.
6 inches away from the mic.
Then nobody he's right tells up him, there.
Hey, man, get up on the mic. We can't hear you, you fucker. And then sometimes he's like right up in the mic. And then Michael Godot, he's always.
Yeah,
so, hey, I looked up on the internet and it was really. Oh, that was my Dig impersonation. So I was going to complain about it, but they're no more now.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
CBS kicked them off.
They kicked them off?
That's what I understand. They said, we don't want you to broadcast anymore. CBS said that. So Penn Jillette, one of my favorite podcasts. And get this, John. I heard this today. Now, he used to be on CKG before the Steve Dahl Show.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you used to cut out of work just to listen to it on the radio. Is that right?
I still do. He still was doing it one.
Still was doing
one,
it.
One to two. Yeah.
Guess who's replacing him, John?
I know. His son.
Steve Dahl's son.
What's
his name? Mike Dahl?
Matt Dahl.
Matt Dahl and Brendan. And it's the worst fucking thing you've ever heard on the face of the earth. And that made me think, John. It's not what you
I know.
Know.
And then he watched 20% of his son's cut.
He does?
Yeah.
Well, he should get it because it's not what you know, John. It's who you know. And you know, there's a whole market out there for self-help in business, the 7 steps of a successful businessman and bullshit like that.
Yeah.
We can be multimillionaires, John, if we take an idea and we focus it around networking. Because it's not what you know. It's who you know. So how do you network? What are the effective steps for networking? And even if you have to pay for it, how do you pay for it and make it come back? Like W, he's going to nominate some guy who donated 50 G's to the... attack smear ads against Kerry. Right? Did you hear about this?
No. Wait. How's that? Wait.
So this guy donated 50 G's to the attack ads against Kerry in the 2004 elections.
And he got totally undressed by Kerry.
Oh, that was great. You got to see that. It's on Crooks and Liars.
I saw it.
Yeah. That was fucking great. But it's, and so for him, it's, he really doesn't know anybody, but he's got the cash. So he gives 50 G's to the W, attacking Kerry, and now the W nominates him for this fucking job.
Oh.
So I think if we came up with a business-focused thing, but about networking and how to network and do it well, because it's not what you know, John. It's who you know.
It's who you know.
Who you know. But then I was listening to Penn, and I also had an epiphany, John, a revelation. You know, and I've been listening to Penn for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I always disagreed with the thought that he had that all people are good and that you had, he was never mean to anybody.
Yeah.
He would accept anybody, and talk to them. He would never hang up. He only hang up like 3 times in his entire show.
Right.
One of the times was on me. But
he's smarmy Scott.
But I had this epiphany. And here's what it is. And I hope to become this mindset one day. It's not happening yet, but I hope it will happen. The thing about Penn is it's all about the exchange of ideas. And he does not care where the idea comes from.
Yeah.
It could be the most total stupid-ass
nut job he has everybody on the show.
On the planet. And he doesn't care. It's what the idea that they have. And that really is the true education, John, the exchange of ideas. We talked about it before.
No doubt, Scott.
And so he doesn't care. Like, and for me, my perspective, is I look at somebody and I say, that guy's a fucking stupid ass. I don't even have to talk to him.
I have to sit there and listen to it. That's the problem.
And
Look at this guy. He ain't going to be able to play guitar.
Right.
Look at his fucking mullet.
But I'm going to change, John. I'm going to change.
Oh.
You're changing again. Yes.
Going back to your whole fucking reciprocal whatever.
Altruism.
That speech you gave me.
I'm going to ignore the fact that I think somebody's a fucking idiot, even after they speak.
Okay.
And I tell myself, this guy's a fucking idiot. I'm still going to listen.
Okay, shut up.
To try to get an idea.
No, you're not. You're going to talk. Person.
No, I'm not. I'm going to let them express themselves.
This is an interesting revelation. Since just weeks ago, you were so hateful to people, saying that they're, you know, you hate them. Fuck everybody. They're all idiots. And that just started like right around, right when your house was being demolished and you were going between your in-law's house.
Right.
And your grandma's apartment.
Uh-huh.
And now you're into the house again.
Everything's okay.
Routine is back. And now you want to love everybody.
I don't want to love everybody, but I want to give everybody the opportunity.
I want to give them a chance.
And I think... And here's, I guess the bottom line is, even when I think they're stupid, let them talk because it'll probably be a good anecdote for the show.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Instead of dismissing them and ignoring them and pretty much walking away from them, I'm going to stop and let them talk. Maybe ask them some questions.
Yeah, there you go. Use the Socratic method. Right.
And that reminds me, John, I was out to lunch with a colleague at work. And I, for a long time, I've noticed that this colleague has no concept of current events or pop culture.
Who would that be?
I don't want to name names.
Why not?
Okay.
You big pussy.
Because she took it pretty hard when I mentioned it.
She took your all man real hard?
I'm out to lunch and I said to her, I said, hey, who is the vice president? The current vice president, who is that? Or no, I didn't ask that question. I'm sorry, I take that back. I said, who is Dick Cheney? And she said, I don't know, the governor? And this is a woman in her 30s who can do her job. She can do her job
well. She has a daughter.
She can do her job well. She can do analysis. She can do all the crap that's required of her job and even exceed expectations. But she does not know who Dick Cheney is. Which is fascinating to me, John. Fascinating. So I came up with this idea. I called you up and I said, hey, man, let's have our daughters come in. My daughter's in third grade. Your daughter's in fifth grade.
Yeah.
Let's ask them some just basic questions and see if they get it right. If they get it wrong, get it right. And then in the future, when we have guests in, let's ask them the same questions and see how they stack up against our daughters. Right?
Yeah.
And then yesterday... I think I heard it on the radio. There's a show that's out on TV now.
Yeah.
It's called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
And guess who plays the host?
Who's the host?
It's Jeff Foxworthy.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Did you know
You know when you're a redneck, if you got a broke TV underneath the one that works.
And if nobody's heard of Jeff Foxworthy, he's a redneck comedian. So he's the guy who's famous for it. You know you're a redneck when?
You know you're a redneck when you go to the family reunion to pick up chicks.
When you're fixing to fuck John in the ass.
Would it be in? All right, we got to go, man.
One last thing about Jack Foxworthy. I don't know if you know this. He sold more albums,
comedy albums,
than I can't believe that.
Any other, and I don't have a one.
I thought the Red States didn't have any money. How could they buy his album?
I don't know. Hey, you know what you get when you play a country record backwards?
Mm-mm.
You get your truck back, your woman back, your kids back.
My name's Mater, as in toe Mater.
Yeah.
Without toe. All right, man, let's take it to part two.
Real quick, the reason why Penn ended the radio show is because they can't do more than an hour. His quote says, "You have to understand, I'm a showbiz wimp. So I don't even know what hard work is.
So what? They said, we want you to do more than an hour?
Yeah, I guess so.
But why? His show Who was knows? Perfect. He's probably an hour.
He probably said, I swear to God, that's what it is.
Oh, did he say, I swear to God?
I didn't hear him say that, but anyway. All right, well, we'll be right back. Stick around.
Thank you for listening to part one of AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. Part two is just a click away.